with anyone because he's afraid the other person will take over his life. He stays on the edges of all his relationships, and his emotional life is very sterile. Children whose borderline parents vacillated between extreme love and raging or abandoning behaviors often have particular difficulty developing trusting relationships with others. They may unconsciously set up tests designed to prove the other person's love, or they may feel abandoned because of small or imagined rejections. Matthew McKay and his co-authors in When Anger Hurts Your Kids, A Parent's Guide, summarizes studies showing that children of angry parents grow up to face more severe problems than those raised in less angry homes. In women, effects include depression, emotional numbness, painful yearnings for closeness and intimacy, a sense of powerlessness, a limit of achievement in school and work. In men, the primary outcome seems to be difficulty sustaining emotional attachments. Practical suggestions for protecting children. Most BPD parents love their children very much and worry about the effects of their borderline behaviors. Many BPs told us that the knowledge that they could be harming their children gave them the courage and determination to recover from BPD. If the BP in your life has a similar attitude, then it will be easier to be supportive, set limits, and help the BP in his or her efforts to improve parenting skills. However, if the BP refuses to admit that his or her behavior is abusive and damaging to the children, or if he or she is unwilling to change, then you may wish to take a more assertive role. Keep in mind that while borderline behavior can be difficult for adults to cope with, it is much harder for children. They have no sense of perspective, little experience, and little or no intellectual understanding of BPD. Furthermore, they are dependent on their borderline parents to meet their most basic physical and emotional needs. Your ability to shield children from these behaviors will depend on many factors, including your legal and emotional relationship to the child, the nature of your relationship with the BP in your life, the laws in your locality, and your willingness and ability to set limits. In general, however, the closer you are to the BP and the children, the greater an impact you can have, and the greater your responsibility. Following are some suggestions. Determine your priorities. Some non-BPs don't take action because they fear harming their own relationship with the BP. They're afraid that if they set limits regarding children, the BP will rage at them, belittle them, or cut them out of their life. Only you can decide what risks you can afford to take. Whatever you decide, you must be able to live with the long-term consequences. Be honest with yourself. Don't downplay or explain away the negative effects of the BP's behavior toward the children. One non-BP justified his inaction by telling himself that his children would learn a valuable lesson from their stepmother's rages, that the world can be a bad place. These justifications may make things easier on the non-BP, but they do nothing to shield children. Set a good example. Children mostly learn by observation. What you do is more important than what you say. That's why mentors and role models can play a large role in modeling healthy behavior, providing insight into a parent's emotional challenges, or simply removing a child periodically from a dysfunctional home, write Roth and Friedman in Surviving a Borderline Parent. Watching you put the steps discussed in this book into practice is also a powerful way for children to learn the basics of detachment, self-care, limit setting, and so forth. Of course, the opposite is also true. If you model less healthy coping mechanisms, they may learn those as well. Sam, for example, was embarrassed when his children witnessed fights between him and his borderline wife. He mistakenly believed that his wife's behaviors reflected negatively on him. So he did everything he could to keep the peace, including allowing her to be verbally abusive. If he protested, his wife would call him names and make angry accusations. When this happened in front of the children, he felt ashamed. Sam's intent was to be kind and responsible, but his children learned that when their mom acted out, it was their job to absorb it. They began to believe that she must be right about what she was saying, because if she were wrong, they believed their dad would say so. If Sam had used limit setting and mirroring techniques and diffused the situation while simultaneously keeping his limits in place, the children could have learned an important lesson. Although their mom acted in unhealthy ways sometimes, she was responsible for her own behavior. We have two additional ideas for demonstrating healthy behavior in front of children. First, make sure that you hold to your limits in front of the children. Explain, "Mommies sometimes get mad, and it's okay to be mad, but it wasn't okay for Mommy to scream at Daddy." Second, if the BP is often unpredictably moody, don't let his or her moods affect everyone else or spoil the children's plans. Show children that it's all right to be joyful and have fun even when a parent is feeling down. Try not to cancel fun activities with your kids when your BP partner is feeling upset. Enlist the support of the BP. Janet Johnston and Vivian Roseby in the Name of a Child, a Developmental Approach to Understanding and Helping Children of Conflicted and Violent Divorce, say that people with BPD want to feel support, caring, and acknowledgement that they try their best. But even if you couch your criticisms and suggestions in a supportive way, whatever you say may be interpreted as devastating criticism. Johnston has three suggestions for overcoming this. 1. Appeal to the BP's natural inclination to want to be the very best for their children. In other words, don't imply that the BP's parenting may be poor. Simply point out that certain actions are good for kids and some are potentially damaging. 2. Emphasize that parenting is the toughest job there is and that all parents need some help now and then. 3. If the BP had an unhappy childhood, appeal to the BP's desire to give his or her own children a better experience. Mary Bell Fisher, Ph.D., advises approaching the BP when he or she is calm and starting out by acknowledging the BP's genuine love for and dedication to their children. Build an alliance with the person by emphasizing the positives and the areas in which you agree. Appeal to their sense of fairness. Don't blame, shame, or attack, which simply makes people defensive. Two examples of shaming phrases are, "What's the matter with you?" and "How could you do that?" Instead, you might say something like, "It's so hard to bring up kids these days, and I know you want the best for Tim, but we just can't ignore that you seem to be losing control with him sometimes. I can certainly understand what a handful he is after you've come home from a long day at work, and I know you've been under a lot of stress lately. But the other day it looked like you were about to hit him, and I'm very concerned about that. We need to figure out a strategy that allows you to do something differently when you're losing it. Perhaps call someone or go somewhere. A lot of people find it helpful to get some outside advice from a counselor about how to make things work out better. Assist the person with BPD in obtaining help and building a network of support. Offer positive feedback and constructive comments rather than criticism and blame. Fisher says, "Tactfully work with the BP parent so he or she doesn't become alienated. There's a tendency for people to close ranks and think, 'Mom's the problem,' and leave it at that. Instead, say, 'Mom's the problem, but how do we maintain respect for her and the integrity of the family?'" Ask the BP how and when he or she would like feedback about parenting. Above all, try to enlist the BP's support in helping the children adapt to having a parent who loves them but sometimes can't regulate his or her own emotions. Strengthen your own relationship with the children. Whether you're a parent, family member, or a friend of the family, you can make a big difference simply by increasing the amount of quality time you spend with the children. Ask the children questions about what's going on in their lives. Be involved. Give them lots of hugs, even the older ones if they let you. Consistently show them love and affection. If appropriate, try to subtly counteract the types of behaviors that concern you. For example, 27-year-old Lisa was concerned that her boyfriend's daughter didn't have enough privacy at home. At the time, the 10-year-old girl, Stephanie, was sleeping in the same bed as her mother, who had custody. Whenever Lisa was with her boyfriend and Stephanie was visiting, Lisa would take special care to respect Stephanie's boundaries and give her as much privacy as possible. She also spent time developing a trusting relationship with the girl. Eventually, Stephanie insisted on having her own space at home. Listen to the children non-judgmentally. Help them trust their own perceptions. Encourage them to talk about their feelings, which may range from grief to rage. They may even be angry at you, perhaps because it feels safer than being angry at the BP. Let them know that their feelings are normal. Be as consistent as you can. Keep your promises. Let the children know they can count on you. Encourage them to call you when they need to, and let them visit as often as feels comfortable for you. Encourage other adult relatives to develop relationships with the children as well. Grandparents, aunts, uncles, in-laws, and friends of the family can all make a real difference in children's lives. Everyone involved should make it clear that they are not taking sides, but they are offering their love and support to both parent and child. Encourage independent thinking and new experiences. Children who feel dependent on the BP parent can benefit from interaction with other parents and children. Provide experiences without the BP parent and reward the children's natural curiosity and sense of adventure. Encourage kids to follow their own interests and dreams. In our interview with Fisher, she said, "Take care not to wrench the child from the BPD parent. If Janie doesn't want to go somewhere without Mommy for several hours, don't force it. But you might take Janie on a short walk and point out that Mommy's going to be there when she gets back." If you are a non-BP parent and the BP parent objects to the child's independence, you may need to set some limits. "Hannah really is old enough to go on a sleepover at her friend's house. I know that this upsets you, but I feel very strongly that we need to encourage her normal friendships with other children. I gave her permission, and she is going to go. Maybe the two of us can go out to dinner and a movie that night." Help children depersonalize the BP's behavior. Most children believe that everything is their fault, so you'll need to help them depersonalize the BP's behavior, especially if the BP outwardly blames the children. Rachel Ryland is the author of the book, Get Me Out of Here, My Recovery from Borderline Personality Disorder. Here, she explains how her husband, Tim, helped their children depersonalize the disorder. He would tell our kids, "Mommy is sick. Not the kind of sick that makes your throat or tummy hurt, but the kind of sick that makes you very, very sad. Mommy was in the hospital because there was a special doctor to work with this kind of sickness, a doctor who would help Mommy get better and not cry so much or get so mad. Mommy didn't get so mad or cry because of anything you've done, kids, but because she is sick. Mommy loves you so much, and you two make her so happy that you are one of the biggest reasons she can smile or laugh at all." He said this over and over again, and it really made a difference. You could see the relief in their eyes. Jennifer, non-BP. "When my BP husband yelled at our children for 10 minutes for disturbing him when he was reading the newspaper, I told the kids, 'I know that Dad is upset because of what you did, but understand that Dad is really upset about more than that. We can tell by the way he's reacting so strongly. He could have asked you quietly to talk to him later, but instead he got really excited and yelled. That's just way out of proportion to what you did. Even though Daddy has grown up, sometimes he loses control. Remember when you got really upset yesterday when I said you couldn't have candy at the grocery store? You started to cry and you couldn't stop, and Mommy had to calm you down. Daddy's reaction is kind of like that. But how he acts is his responsibility. You aren't to blame." Older children, of course, may understand this intuitively. However, even if a child realizes intellectually that the BPD parent's behavior is not his or her fault, the child may still feel responsible on some level. Your own close relationship with the child is your best guide to helping him or her understand the BP's behavior and handle his or her own feelings. Set limits with the BP concerning children. Rachel Ryland, BP. "Tim set firm limits with me regarding the children. In the worst of times, there were out-of-control episodes of rage and hysterics. Tim knew my actions scared the hell out of our kids, so he'd pull me aside and let me know, quite firmly, that the kids were listening and scared by it, You're not going to put the kids through this, he would say. You're out of control. Why don't you just go upstairs? I almost always did. And the few times I didn't, he'd find a place to take the kids until things calmed down. Like most borderlines, I had moments of control and moments of loss of control. My husband's firm reminders were not just limits, but reality checks, pulling me out of childish regression long enough to realize that I had adult responsibilities and that my behavior could have an impact on my kids. It might not have been enough to get me to snap to and think rationally, but it was enough to get me to take it elsewhere. Some parents with BPD, however, will not be as agreeable. When one father came home and discovered that his wife had just hit their son on the head and called him a disparaging and inappropriate name, he soothed his sobbing son and took his wife out to their planned dinner. As they ate and drank, he gently suggested that hitting and name-calling were not the best ways for her to express her frustration. The mother agreed, but excused her behavior by saying, "I had a headache." The father then felt frustrated that his wife didn't understand the seriousness of the problem and was shrugging off responsibility for her actions. There are times when making gentle suggestions to the BP is the best course of action. This was not one of them. In this case, the father could have postponed the dinner and addressed the problem on the spot, explaining the damage that her behavior could do to their son, insisting that this never happen again, and working with the mother to help her find other ways to cope with her frustrations. Take all physical and emotional abuse of children very seriously the first time you see it or hear of it. Ignoring it may give the BP permission to do it again. And once you set limits regarding the children, observe them consistently. Seek therapy for the children. Children can benefit tremendously from working with a therapist who is experienced in treating people with BPD and their families. Signs that children may benefit from therapy include the following. Difficulty coping with painful feelings. Intense or long-lasting feelings of sadness or other distressing emotions. Recurring thoughts of harming themselves, others, or animals. Self-defeating behaviors. These include actions that lead to problems at home, at school, or with friendships. Example given, substance abuse, fighting, unusually poor grades, and other unmanageable behavior. In younger children, signs may include frequent unexplainable temper tantrums or persistent disobedience or aggression. Unexplained physical problems. Marked change in sleeping or eating habits. Hyperactivity. To find a child therapist, ask your pediatrician for a referral or call a local helpline or the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Interview clinicians by phone or in person to make sure you feel confident in them. Remove children from abusive situations. You may need to take the children and withdraw when situations become unsafe. Before you retreat, ask the BP to speak with you out of earshot of the children. Like Tim in the preceding example, point out that children should not be exposed to this behavior and offer to discuss the situation later, just the two of you. Or offer to take the kids elsewhere to give your partner some time to calm down. Remove the child from the situation. If the BP remains out of control, take the kids shopping, out for ice cream, over to a relative's house, to a park, to the movies, to a children's museum, to the playground, to the zoo, and so on. If the BP frequently acts out in front of the kids, you may wish to prepare ahead of time by generating a list of things to do and places to go, keeping a few of the children's things packed and ready to go, and/or making arrangements with friends or relatives to be on call to help. Involve children in activities. When children are older, help them become involved with rewarding after-school activities. This accomplishes four things. 1. It minimizes the children's exposure to the behaviors. 2. It boosts their confidence and self-esteem. 3. It puts them in contact with other caring adults. 4. It takes some of the pressure off you. If you seek a divorce. If you have decided to seek a divorce from your BPD spouse, you may be worried that you won't be there to run interference if the BP becomes abusive. This fear is much more common among men than women, and justifiably so. Men who sought custody told us they faced three major obstacles. One, the court system is often biased in favor of mothers. This is changing, albeit slowly. Two, the court system, by and large, is unconcerned with the type of emotional abuse we've been discussing in this chapter. Judges, lawyers, and activists tell us that while physical abuse can be verified and measured in court, emotional abuse cannot. Judges know that parents battling for custody often make false or exaggerated claims. So unless you have expert testimony, which can be expensive, or credible witnesses, judges may discount or ignore even what you believe to be extreme emotional abuse. 3. Some borderline, soon-to-be ex-wives, frantic at the prospect of losing custody and furious at their husbands for abandoning them, engage in dishonest tactics to discredit their spouses. Their strategies included denying visitation, filing for restraining orders, and making false accusations of sexual abuse of the children. For the sake of your children and yourself, if you are a man seeking custody, it is absolutely critical that you obtain legal help as soon as possible from an attorney who has much experience with issues surrounding men and custody, as well as with dealing with the kinds of tactics we've just described. As an attorney, mediator, and therapist, William A. Eady has an international reputation as an expert in legal disputes with high-conflict personalities, especially those with borderline and narcissistic personality disorders. His book, Splitting: Protecting Yourself While Divorcing a Borderline or Narcissist, reveals how to find such an attorney, and much more, in sections on preparing for court, the court process, and special issues. Splitting is only available from www.bpdcentral.com. Eady says, managing high-conflict people usually involves using skills that are the opposite of what one feels like doing. Learning these skills takes time and practice, but can make an amazing difference in resolving, managing, and containing high-conflict disputes. Eady's main message in the book, as well as an accompanying CD, is that the divorce process sets the stage for the non-borderline's relationship with his or her child post-divorce, and the key is what he calls the assertive approach, one that is sensitive without being passive and persistent without being aggressive. When people go to court, says Eady, the judicial system can actually encourage splitting. When people go into court, they enter an adversarial decision-making system that is splitting people into all good or all bad. This reinforcement of splitting can be extremely threatening to the fragile identity and embedded insecurities of a BP. It allows their daily exaggerations and fears to be taken seriously and provides them a forum for putting all of the blame on the bad spouse. The assertive approach contains five tenets. 1. Think strategically, not reactively. Stop and think when you are angry. Don't act impulsively. 2. Choose your battles. Talk to your attorney about which issues need a response and which don't. Some provocative letters, for example, often don't need a response. 3. Don't make yourself a target. When in court, expect that innocent things you've said and done may be twisted for adversarial purposes. Keep your composure. 4. Be very honest. Things that are half-true are harder to deny than statements you can prove to be totally false. You need that credibility to counter emotional blaming. 5. Gather evidence that shows the true nature of your spouse's behavior patterns. Some of the most useful evidence may appear during the actual court case. Talking to younger children. Johnston and Roseby advise fathers of children aged 4 to 6 to simply give the children good, positive messages, like, "That's not true. Daddy loves you very much, no matter what anybody says." She advises, "Don't worry about undoing what their mother is saying. They're too young to understand motivation, and they can only hold one set of information in their minds at a time." Talking to older children. When the children are older, aged 8 to 10, they have the ability to sort out different perspectives. Your goal is not to put the children in the middle by telling them your side of the story, but to give them factual information that will gently guide them to believe the truth. Remind them of all the loving things you've done together, using concrete examples from the recent past. Help them explore their feelings and assure them of your love. Whatever you say, do not denigrate the other parent. Here is an example of what you might tell a young child. The central message to a teen will be the same, but the language you use will be different. You know, divorce is very hard on moms and dads. When people break up, everyone's feelings get hurt. And I think that right now, mommy is very mad at daddy. And when your mom is mad, she tends to think very bad things about people. Remember the time that I came home late on your birthday? Your mommy told you that I was out with my friends, and when I came home, you found out that a nail punctured my tire. That night I gave you a basketball for a present, and we went to the playground and played and had a lot of fun. I loved you back then, and I love you today, and I will always love you, no matter what anybody tells you. And if you feel scared, call me up right away, and I will give you a big hug over the phone, day or night. Abe, non-BP. A few weeks ago, I was on vacation with my three kids, without my wife. I told them that they may have heard bad things about me from their mother. I told them that they didn't have to believe what she said, that they can believe what they feel or see is true. I also told them that I wouldn't force them to see things my wife's way or my way, that they get to decide on their own what is true. And if they decide to have an opinion that's different from mine, I will still love them and I won't get mad at them. I could tell that this really helped my kids a lot. For those considering having children. In this chapter, we've provided a variety of suggestions for protecting children from borderline behavior. We would like to close with this thought. If you and the BP in your life don't have children but are considering doing so, we suggest postponing having a family until the BP is well into his or her recovery. Here's why. Having their emotions invalidated is one of the biggest triggers for people with BPD. Chapter 6. Yet children constantly invalidate their parents. It's what being a child is all about. When parents set necessary rules and boundaries, children don't thank their parents for providing guidelines. They cry, scream, and may shout, "You're the worst parent in the world." When parents feel hassled and ask their children to give them some peace and quiet, children may instead demand that the parent read them a book or take them to the mall. Just when parents want closeness with their children, the children may decide to assert their independence. Parents may teach their children certain values that their children choose to reject. And children usually don't appreciate the sacrifices their parents make for a long time, often not until they're grown and have children of their own. Parenting is the toughest job in the world. Constant invalidation is part of it. Make sure that you do what's best in the long term for you, the BP, and any children you might bring into the world. Part 3. Resolving Special Issues. Chapter 10. Waiting for the Next Shoe to Drop. Your Borderline Child. Sharon and Tom's Story. Sharon and Tom are the parents of two teenagers, Amy and Kim. Amy was diagnosed with BPD at age 14, a year after she had sex with several men at a party and tried to hire gang members to kill her parents. The day Sharon learned of the plot, she had Amy admitted to a psychiatric facility. Says Sharon, "Amy tells us that had we not hospitalized her, 3 days later we would have been dead." Getting the diagnosis. In the hospital, psychiatrists diagnosed Amy with bipolar disorder. A year later, they changed the diagnosis to BPD when the medication proved ineffective and Amy began mutilating herself with a razor blade. At the time, Amy met each of the 9 criteria for BPD. During the years that followed, Sharon and Tom lived from crisis to crisis. When things seemed to be going well, Amy would do something to shatter the calm. "We were always waiting for the other shoe to drop," says Sharon, "and sometimes it was a big, heavy boot." Tom's hobby was listening to a police scanner. One evening, he heard an ambulance being dispatched to his address. In her room upstairs, Amy had taken a handful of pills, panicked, and called a suicide hotline. Parenting challenges. Aside from running their printing business and trying to pay more attention to their non-BP daughter, Kim, Tom and Sharon's main challenge was helping Amy cope with depression, overeating, and social problems while surviving the fallout from her lies and distortions. Once, Amy spread rumors about a popular girl at school being pregnant. Another time, she told an African-American printing customer that her family didn't like his kind. At one point, authorities were going to remove Amy and Kim from the household for supposed neglect. Kim finally convinced them that Amy's accusations were false. Life today. Amy, now 18, is attending college and living on her own, close to her family. She has a part-time job and receives financial assistance from her parents. She believes she has become more stable because of the support of her family, the proper medications, and successes at school and work, which boosted her self-esteem. "I wasn't ready to work at therapy until recently," Amy says. "I finally realized that seeing a therapist was nothing to be ashamed of, since people who don't have BPD see counselors too." Today, Sharon and Amy have a very close relationship. When we asked Sharon how she was able to put aside the past, she simply said, "That's why they call it unconditional love." She says, "The pain of this mental illness is the worst pain any of us have ever felt. We live with it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There is no way to explain the hell it was for Kim growing up, or how hard it was for my family to watch Amy hurt me to the core. But our determination to get through this with all the love and support we can muster is what will make it possible for Amy to find her little niche and happiness in the world." Helping other parents of children with BPD. As a result of her experiences, Sharon formed an online support group for parents of borderline children of any age. The group is called NUTS, an acronym for Parents Needing Understanding, Tenderness, and Support to Help Their Child with Borderline Personality Disorder. www.parent2parentbpd.org/. Like Amy, the children of the NUTS parents show unmistakable signs of BPD, yet most of the parents spent years playing diagnostic eeny, meeny, miny, mo, seeing one specialist after another and getting one diagnosis after another. Can children really have BPD? At the heart of the problem is this contentious question: can children be diagnosed with BPD? Clinicians who say no believe that an individual's personality fluctuates during childhood and is not formed until late adolescence. Part of the definition of BPD, they point out, is that the behavior is pervasive, persistent, and unlikely to change. Since a child's personality is still developing, these professionals argue that children can't be borderline. Other clinicians disagree. They believe that the emotional and behavioral problems associated with personality development are clearly present early in life and are often evident for 1 or 2 years before help is sought. This, they believe, demonstrates persistence and pervasiveness. To resolve this debate, the DSM-4-TR provided new guidelines for diagnosing BPD in people younger than 18. It states that children can be diagnosed with BPD as long as 1. The borderline traits have persisted for at least 1 year, and 2. The behavior is not better accounted for by either a normal developmental stage, the effects of substance abuse, or a more transient condition, such as depression or an eating disorder. Many professionals are still reluctant to diagnose a child or adolescent with BPD because patients with the disorder are often labeled and stigmatized by the mental health system. However, the National Education Alliance for Borderline Personality Disorder recommends that children with borderline behavior get help right away. For more information about children with BPD, including obtaining a diagnosis and treatment plan for your child, see The Essential Family Guide to Borderline Personality Disorder by Randy Krieger, the co-author of this book. An inaccurate diagnosis often serves to deprive the child of appropriate therapy and medication. Adoption and the incidence of BPD. About 20% of the parents in NUTS adopted their children. Psychiatrist Richard Moskowitz in Lost in the Mirror has noticed from his own practice that adoptees make up a significant portion of adults with BPD and adolescents with borderline tendencies. He believes this may be so for the following reasons. Keep in mind that these represent Dr. Moskowitz's professional opinions, not necessarily the results of research. Early separation and loss. Some states require a delay in the adoption process in order to protect the rights of the child's biological parents. During the waiting period, infants may be placed with foster parents for weeks or even months until the adoption is final. The experience of being torn from their very early caretakers could interfere with the infant's capacity to develop basic trust. Identity issues. Regardless of the circumstances that led to their adoption, many adoptees struggle at some point in their lives with concerns about rejection, which are in turn connected with feelings of defectiveness. These may occur despite the best efforts of many adoptive families to help their children feel chosen and cherished. Inherited temperament. While many scenarios may lead to adoption, a common one is accidental pregnancy. Moskowitz says, "We might expect this to occur most frequently among people who tend to be impulsive and take risks. If this were true, adoptees might be genetically predisposed, as a group, to impulsiveness." Impulsivity is an important criterion of BPD. Temperament mismatch. While children raised within their biological families may not always fit well with their parents' temperaments and values, with adoption, the fit is possibly less likely. This may cause a child's behavior to be met more often with disapproval than praise, which could predispose the child to loss of self-confidence and self-esteem. Experiences of non-BP parents. Sharon, non-BP and creator of NUTS. Most NUTS parents realize something is wrong when their child is in grade school. The BPD child doesn't get along with other kids, and punishments seem to be ineffective at reducing problem behaviors. In Amy's case, the school psychologist maintained that she was just spoiled and would grow out of it. Most NUTS parents, like us, finally receive a diagnosis of BPD after a life-threatening event, such as violence toward others or a suicide attempt. One NUTS parent who was threatened by his son put a lock on his bedroom door and slept in his clothes with the car keys under his pillow. No one can live like this. I tell parents that if they cannot control the abuse, they should call the authorities. You have the right to say no to abuse, even if it is from your own child. How parents feel. If you have a child with BPD, expect your feelings to vary widely and change constantly. The unconditional love is always there, but it can be challenged beyond belief. Your heart is broken again and again because it hurts to see someone you love suffer so much. Destructive acts may cause you to actually feel hate toward your own child, and in between the love and hate come fear, confusion, resentment, wonder, happiness, and guilt. Every parent wonders whether they did something to cause the BPD or whether they could have done something to prevent it. We fear for our children's future. Will they ever be on their own? Will we spend the rest of our lives trying to help our children live normal lives? As much as we love them, we look forward to the empty nest. Sharing with your spouse. It's important to share your feelings with your spouse. Having a BPD child can destroy your marriage. It can also make it stronger. It is crucial that parents approach their child as a team and understand and support each other. Don't let the BP child split the two of you, in either sense of the word. It's going to be a long roller coaster ride, and it is much easier when the two of you are facing in the same direction. Money and family concerns. Money is a big worry. Some parents have given up everything they have to pay for treatment. Residential facilities can be up to $1,500 per day. Every trip to a therapist or psychiatrist is well over $50. Other children in the family may need to do without to help their brother or sister. It would be nice if extended families were always supportive, but mental disorders are not well understood or accepted, and sometimes people deny that someone in their family could have a problem. Family members don't have to agree with the diagnosis, but they should respect that you believe the diagnosis and proceed from there. On top of all this, people may believe terrible things about you. Sharon says, "My borderline daughter used to tell stories and tried to convince people that she was a prostitute and a drug addict. In this society, whenever a child has problems, everyone figures that the parents are to blame, especially the mother. I kept telling myself that we knew the truth and that what other people thought did not affect who we really were." Trying your best despite it all. Parents of borderline children try their best despite the void of information. One common mistake is blaming the child for having BPD or expecting the child to change too quickly. Unlike a child with a physical impairment, no physical cues remind you that your child has a disorder. It is important to keep in mind that there is a biological basis for BPD. See Appendix A. And if the child could easily change and put a halt to his or her own suffering, he or she would do so. Our children need extra care and nurturing, and we give it freely. But if we step in too much, we may teach our children that they cannot survive without us. We must walk a fine line between letting our children learn from their mistakes and protecting them when the disorder limits their capabilities. Effects on siblings. It's common for siblings of troubled children to starve for parental attention until they cry for help with disruptive behavior of their own. Parents should be aware of how the intrusive behavior of one child might threaten the security of another. Just as borderlines have problems defining their own personal boundaries, they are often disrespectful of the boundaries of others. Boundary violations may be subtle, or, at worst, may extend to physically or sexually abusing a sibling. You must be on the alert for this. Sharon, founder of Nuts, recommends trying to find a friend or family member to help out so you can give your other children the time and attention they need. Be very open with siblings. Talk to them about BPD and explain that the borderline child feels they have no control over their behavior. Siblings may be afraid to tell you their negative feelings, so explain that angry and even hateful feelings are normal. Make sure that your other children have a safe place to go that is all their own, a place they can retreat when things become overwhelming. Kim, Sharon's daughter and Amy's older sister, describes what it's like growing up with a BP sibling. Kim, non-BP. "I have a lot of guilt about my sister. At times, I wished her next suicide attempt would be successful. When I have cooled down, I feel sickeningly guilty. Sometimes I find it hard to find any love for her at all, even when I'm not mad at her. She can be so socially inappropriate, like the time my friend came over for dinner and Amy asked her if she was still a virgin. I am worried about my future family. Even though I don't even have a boyfriend, I'm anxious about my wedding. I know I will feel obligated to make her a bridesmaid, even though I don't want her to be one. I am afraid of the temper tantrums she will throw. Will it be about the dress, who is the maid of honor, or something else? What will my future husband think of her? What kind of aunt will she be for my children? Can I trust her to babysit? Will my own children have this horrible disorder? But right now I have more immediate worries. My mother is supposed to visit me at college for parents' weekend. Will she have to call home to check on Amy every 15 minutes? Will Amy throw a fit and ruin everything? Will I always have to fight for our mother's attention?" The role of non-BP parents. Members of Nuts have found they can divide their responsibilities into four major tasks. 1. Keeping family members safe. 2. Taking care of themselves. 3. Taking charge of their child's medical care. 4. Providing a structured, consistent, and loving environment that stresses self-responsibility. Keep family members safe. It can be very difficult to balance the needs of the borderline child with the needs of the rest of the family, but the safety of each family member is of paramount importance. Use the information in Chapter 8 and ask for help when you need it. Take care of yourself. The next time you're on an airplane, read the safety material. When oxygen is running low and the oxygen masks appear, the literature instructs parents to put on their own masks before putting masks on their children. This makes good sense. A parent who isn't breathing is of little help to a child. In the same way, it's vital that you take care of yourself first. An emotionally exhausted and physically run-down parent can barely nurture an emotionally healthy child, let alone one who has borderline personality disorder. Think of yourself as a whole person, not just your child's parent. It's common for one parent, often the mother, to take on the lion's share of the burden of caring for a child with BPD, but we urge you to share the work more or less equally so that one parent doesn't become burned out or resentful. Parents may also try switching roles. Example given, if one tends to provide the emotional nurturing and the other handles more practical matters, try reversing tasks for a while to give each person a break. Most importantly, don't become isolated. Sharon says, "You may lose friends because of this. Some won't be able to handle your child's behavior problems. Some will judge or blame you. Look for people whom you can count on to validate your feelings. They don't need to solve your problems. They only need to listen with a sympathetic ear." Take charge of your child's medical care. Over the years, your child may see many different clinicians, receive numerous diagnoses, and encounter several agencies designed to stabilize him or her. Consider yourself the CEO of your child's care, directing the professionals, managing the budget, and making decisions based upon what's best for all concerned. Don't depend on anyone else to do this for you, because they won't. Remember, you care the most about your child and are ultimately responsible for him. Keep careful records. One important duty is keeping a record of your child's behaviors, moods, and encounters with the legal and mental health system. Jot down your child's medications, dosages, and clinical appointments. Note your conversations with school officials, specialists, and other involved parties. This journal may assist clinicians in making a diagnosis, and it could be vital if you ever need documentation for legal purposes. The journal doesn't have to be elaborate. A few brief words will do. For example, 11-2-2009, clinic, appointment with Dr. Smith, changed Prozac to 40 milligrams. 11-5-2009, school, met with Mrs. Jones, math, who said Mary has missed 6 assignments, was tardy 3 times, and is mouthy at times. 11-15-2009, clinic, family therapy today. Worked on expectations. 12-4-2009, clinic, appointment with Dr. Smith, no med changes. 12-5-2009, home, big blow up tonight, Mary threatened suicide but cooled down after an hour, stated we didn't trust her after she missed curfew by 2 hours. 12-6-2009, police, Mary picked up for underage drinking, she was with 2 older boys who she met tonight. 12-7-2009, home. We found cuts on Mary's left wrist. She had superficial bleeding. Mary cried a lot tonight and said she feels bad. 12-9-2009, clinic. Counseling appointment. Mary was very quiet afterward. Working with care providers. Some parents are intimidated by mental health professionals. Keep in mind that they're working for you. Respect their position and expertise, but don't assume that they will always know best. Listen to clinicians with an open mind, even if what they say is something you don't want to hear or seems to be critical of you. But pay attention to your inner voice and assert yourself when you feel it's necessary. The final decisions are always yours. If the clinician mistakenly thinks that BPD is always the result of abuse, or if he or she implicitly or explicitly accuses you of mistreating your child despite lack of evidence, consider switching professionals. Dealing with the system. Many nuts parents find that dealing with health insurance providers, the schools, the legal system, and other institutions can be almost as challenging as coping with the behavior of their borderline child. Gail, a nuts parent, says, "Do your best to ensure that your child doesn't fall through the cracks. It may mean making phone calls and personal visits. It may mean telling the powers that be that you won't take no for an answer. When you advocate for your child, you may find you possess an inner strength you never knew you had." Provide an appropriate environment. Borderline children and teens require structure and consistency in the same way that roadways require traffic lights and stop signs. Without them, utter confusion reigns, and physical or emotional injuries are more likely to result. Routines. Structure refers to consistent routines. Nuts parents find that their children do best with firm schedules that tell them when to get up, when to go to school, what to do after school, when to eat, and so forth. Sharon even wrote a morning routine for her daughter to help her remember to brush her teeth and get dressed. When something unexpected happens, even a good thing, like a surprise birthday party, Amy doesn't know what to feel or how to act, Sharon explained. A rage often results. We found that Amy needed to know in detail what was expected of her and what she could expect from others at all times. Consequences. As part of creating this structure, try to help your child grasp what will happen if he or she does not meet his or her responsibilities. Be as specific as possible. For example, you might tell your child, "If you are late for school, they will mark you tardy. If you are tardy three times without an excuse, you will be suspended. If you were suspended again, we may have to look at alternatives, such as boarding school." It is extremely important that you let your child learn from his or her own mistakes at an appropriate level for his or her age. If you continually rescue your child from the results of his or her own actions, your child may never learn to function at a higher level without you. It may be difficult to watch your child suffer the consequences of impulsive behavior, but in the long run, your child may suffer more if he or she never learns to control himself or herself. Consistency. Consistency means holding your child accountable for his or her actions every time. All parents have to fight the urge to let things slide sometimes, but with a borderline child, inconsistent enforcement of rules can be outright disastrous. Obtaining a diagnosis for your child. Distinguishing between typical adolescent acting out behavior and behavior that's indicative of BPD can be difficult. To make a determination, look at the reason for the behavior. Adolescents with BPD often act out by using drugs or raging to cope with profound misery, emptiness, self-loathing, and abandonment fears. According to the Essential Family Guide to Borderline Personality Disorder, New Tips and Tools to Stop Walking on Eggshells, a comprehensive psychiatric evaluation is mandatory for potentially borderline children. The psychiatrist develops a report that becomes the foundation for the treatment plan. The evaluation may include the following: a description of the child's present problems and symptoms, information about health, illness, and treatment, parent and family health and psychiatric histories, information about the child's development, school performance, friends, and family relationships. If needed, laboratory studies, such as blood tests, X-rays, or special assessments, for example, psychological, educational, and speech and language evaluation. Brannon, non-BP. "I wanted my son, Michael, to be happy. So if he was being punished for a week, by the third day I pretended to forget the punishment. But Michael quickly learned not to take any punishment seriously. If I grounded him, he simply walked out the front door. As a teenager, Michael became involved with drugs and began skipping school and threatening violence. I placed him in one residential facility that allowed too much freedom. The drug use simply continued. Eventually, Michael settled into a very strict residential facility that meted out privileges for good behavior. There, he seems to be learning accountability for his actions." Borderline children need love and affection as much as other kids. Says Sharon, The key to loving your child is to remember that their behavior is caused by borderline personality disorder. Love your child. Hate the disorder. Having a BPD child can be tough, but there are wonderful moments as well. When your child learns how to cope with certain aspects of his or her illness, there is cause for celebration. When he or she finally makes that most important step of realizing and accepting love for his or her parents, it is so strong, so sweet, and so very precious. For more information about raising a borderline child, see the book Hope for Parents, Helping Your Borderline Son or Daughter Without Sacrificing Your Family or Yourself, by Kay Winkler and R. Krieger. Also, see the website of the National Education Alliance of the National Education Association for Borderline Personality Disorder, www.neabpd.org, for information on its Family Connections Program. Chapter 11. Lies, Rumors, and Accusations. Distortion Campaigns. Hell hath no rage like a borderline scorned. From the Welcome to Oz Family Member Support Community, www.bpdcentral.com. Some non-BPs told us that they have been falsely accused of harassment and abuse by the BPs in their lives, been the subject of damaging rumors, and even faced legal action brought against them by borderlines without legitimate cause. We call these distortion campaigns. Jerry, non-BP. My soon-to-be ex-wife got a protection order and had me evicted from my own home. She cut me off from our daughters and told all the neighbors that I am violent. They won't even look me in the eye. She systematically sought out the people in social and professional organizations I belong to and attempted to turn them against me. She told my boss that I was impotent and that I gave her herpes. She told her lawyer that I raped her 10 years ago because we had had sex when she didn't want to, and she hadn't even told me she wasn't in the mood. I haven't seen the woman in months, nor have I called her. In the meantime, I am paying $3,500 a month for support. I can't sleep at night thinking of the injustice of it all. I am terrified of what she will allege next week in court. Here are some other examples of distortion campaigns. Valerie's borderline mother, Hannah, told family members that Valerie had stolen money from her and had been violent on several occasions. Family members refused to speak with Valerie. Hannah made the accusation after Valerie told her she couldn't visit her over Christmas. Judy was stalked by her former borderline friend, Elizabeth, who sent threatening letters to herself in Judy's name. Elizabeth would then call Judy's answering machine and beg her to stop threatening her. The matter ended up in court, where Elizabeth broke down under questioning and insisted that Judy had forced her to write the threatening letters to herself. Majel's son, Rick, was engaged to a borderline woman named Jerry. Jerry began telling Rick that Majel had made some highly negative comments about him to her when no one else was around. Although these comments were pure fabrications, Rick felt torn and didn't know whom to believe, his mother or his fiancé. Not all people with BPD distort the truth. Many borderlines would never do such a thing. We are not invalidating the experiences of people with BPD who have been victimized. We are merely validating the experiences of those non-BPs who have been falsely accused. All types of people, both those with and without mental disorders, may make false claims. Motivations for distortion campaigns. Several theories account for what might motivate someone with BPD to engage in a distortion campaign. Abandonment and anger. We have explained that BPD does not cause fundamentally different behavior, but behavior that is very far to one side of the continuum. Or, as one BP put it, borderlines are just like everyone else, only more so. We all experience feelings of loss and rejection when relationships end or are threatened. These emotions are especially intense when the other person decides to leave and we want the relationship to continue. Many distortion campaigns seem to revolve around either real or perceived abandonment, loss, and rejection, terrifying issues for people with BPD. Divorce, the issue in Jerry's case, is an example. Hannah may have felt rejected when her daughter decided not to come home for Christmas. Elizabeth may have felt humiliated when her friend Judy terminated the friendship. But sometimes the perceived loss is not so apparent. Jerry, for example, may have felt that her own relationship with her fiancé Rick was threatened by his close relationship with his mother, though he had love enough for them both. Johnston and Roseby